Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Enough already with the heat wave.
Stop!
It's funny. I have an attention span of like a goldfish. Like, all right, I got it. It's hot. Let's move on. Is there any other news?
Exactly, yeah.
I'm watching the news this morning, like the first 15 minutes. Let's go over here and they have the report on this. Let's go over here and talk to this one about fire hydrants.
How about this one over here?
Let's go over here and talk to this one about sweating.
I see a fuzzy dog!
Jesus. Are we that stupid?
Seriously.
Yeah, we probably are.
Yeah, looking back.
We have some reports from Channel 3.
Well, the heat index value for today is expected to hit 100 degrees, which means those outside are at risk of dehydration, heat exhaustion, even heat stroke.
And while some of us have the luxury of working inside, that's far from the reality of those who have to work outside in those dangerous conditions.
Why did you mention that?
You know, this is so informative.
Luxury.
Well, inside. Wait a minute. You mean like working outside is worse than working inside
right.
with air conditioning?
Ah. Luxury.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you. I wouldn't be able to do it.
No.
I couldn't do it.
Nope.
I'd be like, I'd tell the news story. I'm not saying this.
Yeah. No.
I'd last 2 minutes.
You guys want to do this? You do this.
No. No. Give me some real news.
Right.
All right. It's hot. Okay. Talk to someone in Vegas or in California right now.
Right.
Boring.
Right.
Exactly.
It's like we get a little thin coating of snow. Oh, my God. Betting down the hatches.
Snowmageddon, 97.
Snowmageddon.
Snowmageddon.
And then it's, you know, we get a couple hot days in a row in June.
Right.
Ah! Back to you.
Yep.
Okay. Let's hear more. I want to hear more.
Okay.
So let's head over to Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter Olivia Schuler, who's live in Hartford with some advice on how to prevent heat-related illnesses while working in the heat today.
What is her coverage? Like illnesses you can get working out in the heat?
Sunstroke.
Yeah, sunstroke. Yeah.
And by the way, I love Channel 3. I love these reporters. They're all great. It's just I'm mocking us as people.
Yes.
Okay?
All of us. Have to be told.
How we all get excited
right.
about the heat. All right.
You know what to do. Go ahead.
Well, Caitlin and Nicole, it may sound repetitive, but you need to remember to stay in the shade, take plenty of breaks, and of course, drink water. Now, the Connecticut Department of Labor says
you know, I've heard this so many times now, I don't even want to do it. Now I'm like, despite you, I'm not drinking water.
Yeah, I'm drinking fruit juice.
Despite you, I'm going to be working hard in the sun at 3 without water.
Having beer.
I'm sick of you telling me.
I feel like that first sentence is her being like, I'm sick of saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it may sound repetitive.
Yep. Right. That's
because it is. Still need to hear it clearly.
Right. She's sneaking it in there.
I was here
but
yesterday.
But are that many people
thing.
Dropping dead? Like, what's the death count in Connecticut for yesterday? Like, do we need to go over this again?
Not from heat.
How many people died from heat yesterday? Yeah. I need to know.
Yeah,
that's
heat.
The number.
Right.
Start there. 8 people died yesterday. Now you have my attention.
Yeah, I'll pay attention now.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's drink.
Let's write this down.
Give me a water.
Right. Hang on the shade. Don't come outside at all.
I'm going to go have this water in the shade. Right. I'll be right back. No one died.
No.
No one.
No one burst into flames.
Did anyone go to the hospital? Stand outside the emergency room.
Right.
Hi, I'm outside the emergency room. 15 people came in yesterday for the... Okay, I'm in.
They're probably doing like, well, someone may come
Nothing
in here today.
Nothing happened yesterday.
Yep.
Nothing.
We're all good. We're all good.
But yet, top of the news, the heat wave.
It's okay. It's okay now.
I get it. Nothing's going on. But no. Like, don't get us all excited.
Right. Hysteria.
I could do that on my own. All right, go ahead.
Department of Labor says that if you're working outside, you should actually be drinking 1 quart of water every single hour.
A quart? Is that possible?
A quart of water every hour?
Every hour?
I'll be sloshing.
Okay, hold on. What's the, 1 quart every hour, so that's a gallon every 4. So 2 gallons while you're at work.
Yeah. Huh.
It's 4 that cups of water.
Seems excessive.
Seems excessive.
Seems excessive. Maybe like...
For what?
Half a quart.
So yeah, I need the... Don't be these people. Drink the water.
Right.
Where are the people? who got hurt not doing this.
Right. Let them talk about what happened, their experience.
No, I want to see people on stretchers. I don't want to see people on stretchers, but like, if you're going to get me excited about the weather, I want to see something happen.
Want some casualties.
Don't be like me. I didn't drink the water.
Get some blow-up dolls.
Right.
Put them in stretchers. Put sheets over them. Start by, don't let this be you.
Yeah.
Drink the water.
I want to see some real heat stroke or heat wave stuff, like making cookies on the dashboard or baking
yes!
an egg on the sidewalk.
What happened to that? The fun stuff.
The fun stuff. Not all just death and doom.
Yeah.
Make breakfast on the sidewalk.
Who's the fun reporter at Channel 3? You know, they always have one who's like
yeah, the fun one.
You know, who you send out to do these things.
Yeah, the goofy things.
Like Bob Wilson's always the goofy right. one over at News 8.
Right, he's the one that's with all like the UConn fans when they win.
Yeah. Right, right. The Genie Moses of the Connecticut. Who right. is that person does like most of the goofy stuff?
It used to be Roger, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Is it not Marcy Jones? She's always like drinking wine.
Right,
I feel like.
Yeah.
She's over at Travelers this morning.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. All right.
That's fun, I guess, right?
Yeah, I need to hear more about this water.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, Connecticut labor laws and regulations do not specifically go into detail on safety measures for employees working outdoors. The state does require employers to follow reasonable care to provide their employees with a safe place to work. Our team caught up with one worker, Michael Mollison of Galasso Materials. In this weather, he keeps Gatorade within arm's reach. Now, Mollison and his coworkers take breaks and find shade under an umbrella for their own safety while working.
Get it done and get out. You know, I got coworkers that pass out, you know, ambulance got to come and get them pretty
okay.
much.
All right, start there.
All right, go with that one.
Hey, start there.
Where are they now? Yes.
There's a heat wave. All right, follow up. I want to hear, okay, what happened to them?
Right.
How many?
Exactly.
Where are they now?
Yes.
Let's interview them.
Are they still in the hospital? Can we talk to them there?
Wow, we got something.
Right.
All right, let's go.
Yeah. You got a scoop right there.
Packing up the truck as this guy's still finishing his sentence. We're going to the hospital to talk to these guys.
Which hospital?
We'll see you later. Thanks a lot for the quote.
Which hospital? Like, of course, the ER.
All right, you got something.
Right. Just want to know.
Can I hear that the last couple of seconds?
Get it done and get out. You know, I got coworkers that pass out. You know, ambulance got to come and get them pretty much.
Pretty much. Wait, what do we mean, pretty much? They pretty much come and get them?
Right.
Did they come and get them, or they didn't come and get them?
Right.
But did you leave them there?
They brought them water, and they left.
Did the ambulance get them?
Here, drink this.
I need follow-ups. Okay.
Construction workers aren't alone. Linemen, landscapers, and mail delivery people are all in a similar boat. They're trying to get
HVAC.
Through today, avoiding any heat-related illness. Now, if you are working outside throughout the day, make sure you keep an eye out for these symptoms. They include dizziness, nausea, and vomiting. If you experience any
That's
of those,
Monday.
Immediately call 911. Live this morning in Hartford, Olivia Schuler, Channel 3, Eyewitness News.
It's a good report.
Right,
I'm not mocking Channel 3.
No.
Our friends that are reporters are mocking us as people.
Right. Has to be told.
No. It's been, how long have we been on this planet?
Seriously.
We're still like, I don't know. It's warm out. What do I do?
There was a heat wave last year. You survived. You do the same thing this year.
Oh.
So what you got to do? Same way you lived last year, do it this year.
Can the people who just pass out from heat stroke, can we just leave them? Just leave them.
As a marker?
It's like, this is stupid. You're not worth the energy.
Right.
We're just leaving you.
Right.
Forget it.
Smell some cooking?
Just move on.
That's Bob.
Bob, you're stupid.
You're stupid.
And you're burnt.
You smell Do they good. Keep going with this? What happens next?
5:33 now, there's an urgent reminder about the dangers of hot cars and children.
Oh, Jesus.
Hot cars and children.
Yep.
Always check your backseat.
We can't have a rise in temperature without the place going nuts.
Seriously. I have to tell you folks once again not to do this.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, good luck, everybody.
Yeah.
Good luck today. I hope you survive.
Yep. Make it to the end.
Clearly, no one knows what they're doing.
It's like Candyland. Make it to the end.
Drink lots of water, stay in the shade, don't work.
Right.
just like any other day. What's it like being an elementary school principal? What's it like being an elementary school principal of the year?
Aha!
Look at you!
On the phone right now, Principal Scott Jeffrey with Highland Elementary School in Cheshire. Good morning. Congratulations.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank
good,
you.
Thank you. How did you find out? How does this even happen? I think your colleagues have to submit you,
the
right?
The kids narked on him.
And then everybody votes and...
Well, you know, my superintendent, Jeff Solon, he sent a recommendation for this award to the Connecticut Association of Schools. So that nomination was carried on, and then I was offered or really nominated, and then I was a finalist, and then I completed a process of an application and was selected by a committee from the Connecticut Association of Schools.
So no competition, no swimsuit competition, talent portion, things like that.
No singing, no dance-off.
Cool. That'd be cool. Yeah, tap dancing.
Juggling.
Exactly, right. That'd be cool.
No, I can do all that, but
nice.
I didn't have to do it for this. So
okay, good.
It was good.
You know, my experience with the principal has always been, I did something wrong and now I'm in the principal's office.
Right.
Is that still how it works?
Well, we have some students like that who come to the principal's office
like
for
us.
Behavior, but oh yeah, like you. And for a lot of the students, I really like to have them come visit and share their work. Or a lot of times, they're stopping by and delivering cards or, you know, fun writing thank you notes, things like that.
Right. The tough detail. Lick all these envelopes.
Yeah.
Do they still have in-school suspension?
We do. We have in-school suspension sometimes.
Nice.
It's fairly rare in elementary school. It's
school, right.
Oh, well,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Really bad
okay,
kid,
I'm thinking of 7th and 8th grade. That's
right.
When I was...
Right.
The demon seed
or
begins.
High school. Or
right.
You're skipping class and
right.
Things like
yes.
That. But there are occasions we use that.
Right.
Elementary school's great. I mean, most of the kids are awesome. And,
except for trying to get a drink of water from the fountain. It's so damn low.
Well, if you're an adult, don't stay back 8 times.
Hey, my 27th year was awesome in 6th grade.
Well, tell us about the kids. Are there any standouts there?
Yeah, you know, we have a great school. We have 900 students at Highland and kindergarten through 6th grade.
It's an invasion.
Most of the kids are amazing, and
most of the kids
are amazing.
That's okay. He's being honest.
Kidding.
Right, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Not every kid's special.
Most of them are amazing.
The kids,
some of them are super amazing.
Right.
That's exactly.
And some are amazing.
And the kids are great. And, you know, there's every day I have the opportunity to greet kids as they're coming in. One of the things that I really take pride in is trying to know all their names, all 900. And so
really?
That's usually a challenge every year, getting to know them.
God, let's see how many you can. Let's see how many you can name right now.
Yes. Go.
No, there you go. but that's really one of the things that I think is really important, that when a child hears their name, they light up. And so they like to be seen. They like to be heard. They like to be known. And so that's really important.
900
not
names.
Just me.
Damn, man.
Yeah, I don't know every single one, I'll be honest.
Right.
But
yeah.
Even those I don't know, I try to get to know. When
right.
I find out they're passing me by and I'm saying, hey, buddy, how you doing? And,
right.
I make
you.
An effort to try to get to know them. Hey, you.
Right. That's my name. Hey, you.
Yeah, you know, it's usually the kids that are in trouble are usually the ones that are having a tough home life.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always something behind it. There's always some kind of function behind their behavior, and trying to learn more about them and get to know them and listen, really listen to them. A lot of times you find out what that is and you can start to address that.
In my case, it's too much sugar.
Too much sugar. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it.
That got me going. Yep. I was cranking.
So what happened? Like, someone gets sent to the principal's office. I used to have to sit outside in the reception area.
Oh, it's the worst.
And it's that wait for
yes.
them to come out.
That and, little and bench where it's just silent.
You're just sitting there. You're trying to get your story together.
Yep. Get your affairs in order.
There's like a distant phone ringing.
Because the principal's one thing. Home was the next step.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Trying to get the truth is always our challenge. I have an assistant principal, Erica. She's amazing. Together, we process different behaviors that happen, and trying to get to the truth is really important. Probably do the same thing that parents do. You know, tell me the truth the first time, it'll be easier. You know,
right?
And that helps. But sitting on the bench, I'm sure they're afraid, but we try to come up with solutions all the way through.
Bench was never comfortable either.
No, it's definitely a wooden, hard wooden bench.
Yes, it was.
No, it's funny. You think that at some point I'll be an adult and this will be behind me, but it's not. You still,
yeah.
You still get that proverbial bench.
Yep, it's true.
It's like, yeah, I'm about to talk to the boss.
Yep,
and this might not be great.
Right,
I clearly screwed up.
Get my affairs in order again.
Yeah. That's a good school there.
Funny. Yeah,
Highland Elementary School in Cheshire. You've done a great job.
I love the school. It's a great place. We have amazing teachers. The kids are excellent. We have excellent families that are supportive. We all have the same goal in mind, trying to help our students grow. And the other part we have in Cheshire is a really supportive board of education and an administrative team led by our superintendent, Dr. Solon. It's incredible.
Nice.
He's been on your show before, too.
Yeah, he's great.
Yep.
Really great. Trying to think of some of the stuff I got in trouble. But, well, there's talking, there's all that stuff. But
right.
You ever have anyone bring a slingshot in the school?
No, no slingshots.
Okay.
Typically, I think kids are smart enough not to bring weapons into school. But, you know, if that happens, we certainly process through that. But
How about a live snapping turtle?
Oh, nice.
No. No, we have a tarantula in one of our classrooms.
Okay,
all right. Need some bug spray.
But was it brought in by a student on the bus?
You need some bug spray.
Not by a student.
Okay.
By a teacher.
I found the bananas. It just crawled out.
It's not an easy job to be a teacher or a principal today. And I think the parents can make it challenging at times. So congratulations to you and great job to you and everybody there at Highland Elementary School in Cheshire.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Keep up the great work.
Yes, and good luck.
All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day.
All right, principal.
All right. Bye now.
It's funny. School's way behind me, but I still get nervous when I talk to the principal.
Right?
I'm still like, at any minute, the hammer could come.
Right.
Slingshot, snapping turtle. Were you Dennis the Menace?
Thank you, Principal Jeffrey.
Yeah.
A man was arrested. An 18-year-old man in New Hampshire. Manchester police said Friday that they received a call from a mother on Wednesday reporting that she and her 4-year-old daughter were trapped inside a porta potty at Deerfield Park after a man pushed it from behind.
Oh, that's a strong person. You had two folks in there and he pushes it over?
Get a running start.
Right. I'm covered in blue water.
That's what I'm picturing, just like a full body press into it. Mm.
I think even if it wasn't I think I could just stand there and tip it over with two people inside.
Right.
I think we should try it Monday.
Okay, cool.
All right,
Vince.
You.
This is the worst version of AJ in a box. AJ in a porta potty.
AJ in a box. That's what we should do at the porta potty this year.
Yeah, why not?
That's a hot box.
That's some good seating. It's kind of cold in there.
Do that out of the heat wave.
Right. It smells like plastic and other things.
Witnesses told responding officers that the man and woman, who did not know each other, were arguing near the porta potty. See?
Whose turn is it?
She left that part out.
I had to go. I have to go. I have to go. No, my daughter, I have to go.
Okay. I was here first.
Yep.
You know, you can't go in the porta potty when someone outside is angry.
No, you cannot, as she found out.
It's not a good plan.
Yep.
When the woman went inside with her kid, the man pushed it over, causing the porta potty to fall on the door.
Oh,
yep. Oh, yeah, so now you're trapped. That was so deliberate.
Yeah, trapped a little submarine.
Yeah, he was thinking.
A little submarine floating by you.
Trapping the two inside, bystanders present on the scene rushed to overturn the toilet, help to free him.
And then stand back.
The mother, the daughter were fine, no injuries, but they were covered in feces and bodily fluids.
Right. They probably looked like Blue Man Group. They had all that stuff.
Blue Man Group.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, you don't want to put your mouth on anything or play any percussion instruments that were inside of
No, you do not.
Potty.
No, nope.
Don't touch.
Ever.
No.
was
no. You just want to let yourself on fire, after
right?
That.
Yeah.
You just want pour gas on me and light me on fire.
I just need water.
I need
of it now.
Purifying flame,
right? Yes. I must self-immolate.
It was a park, so hopefully there was like a body of water she could just throw the child in.
Just yeah. Run so, right yeah. Into the water.
Just dive right in. Even the fish leave.
Even a fire hose.
The fish are like, we're out of here.
Yeah, fire hose, fire hydrant.
Right. Anything.
It's bad enough going into one that's been out for a day and a half at a fair.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. And you feel the stench. You feel it.
Yeah.
You don't even have to smell it.
You open that door. It's like,
yes. There's a different feel to the air.
And then to make matters worse, why is there always a friggin' yellow jacket in there?
Yeah.
Double jeopardy. It's like, great, I got to pee in this really bad area, and I got a yellow jacket going, ning, ning, ning.
There's something about strangers' poo also.
Yeah.
You know?
And you can't help but look all of a sudden.
Yeah, because it's not one person's.
Right, yeah.
It's multiple people.
It's like,
no, but
God,
if you go into your bathroom and you flush the toilet and it's a family member's poo, the clog,
yeah.
And it's coming out at you now.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as a porta potty full of strangers' poo.
Yeah, I don't want anybody's poo. I don't care.
Like, no, I don't want anyone's poo either.
Family poo, I don't care.
Yeah, but if you know
but
the provenance.
I feel better
of the poo.
If I know the person, yeah. No?
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
I guess.
I was trying to find this call. You mentioned there was a call to 911. I wanted to see if it was available. I went to the Facebook page of the Manchester police that reported this accident. Comments. Not one person defending the 18-year-old.
Wow.
Everybody's like, he deserves jail time.
Wow.
Or way worse.
Yeah.
When you got to go, you got to go.
It's bad.
Yeah.
This is a terrorist, plain and simple, the worst kind. This 4-year-old girl has to live with this the rest of her life.
Oh,
she'll forget in 2 or 3 years.
Relax.
This should be a federal offense.
I've been traumatized by poo.
No, but think about it. If you were screaming as the thing was going over,
right.
And then some stranger's poo ended up in your mouth, you will live with that. For the rest of your life.
Yeah, I'll
if you live to 103, you'll be like, yeah, remember.
I would vomit so hard and turn inside out. I can't eat a Babe Ruth bar anymore.
Can't you get like all kinds of bad things
even getting
from
poo? In your eye?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like pink eye, yep.
Not just eye. I mean, right. There's all kinds of terrible things.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You could be sick for a long time. Yeah.
All those chocolate bars you want to eat again.
I used to like chocolate pudding.
Right. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Not since that day.
Can't watch that Willy Wonka scene where the kid falls in the chocolate lake anymore.
Augustus!
I love a perfect name for it, too.
What do you do when you're trapped in a John?
You know, that would be one really cool video to watch if they had a camera inside that.
Right. As it's going over.
And you just see it go over.
Yep.
Did you see...
Take the kid out of the equation.
It looked kind of like the Gatorade thing to do with the coaches.
Oh, that's... Yes.
It's just that wave, and you see it.
Yeah.
And they're screaming, and then it's like,
Yep.
The man who pushed the porta potty was arrested and charged with criminal restraint and criminal mischief. He was also charged for assaulting a police officer for throwing something at one of the officers.
Wasn't residue.
Vince Barry's personal life is such a disaster.
Oh, my God. What a mess.
He needs our help.
Thanks, guys. Good setup. Really making me feel good at 7:30 in the morning.
Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. So,
it's like to catch a predator.
What happened?
All right, I'm going to get out in front of this one.
Okay.
By the end of the story, you'll say, Vince, you are a coward. You are bad at conflict resolution. You are bad at expressing yourself and your feelings. And I would say all of that is incredibly true. The only time I'm comfortable talking is when I'm on a microphone.
I like that. He starts at the end, and he's working his way back. Nice. This is how we like it. We like the headline.
I'm a big, big coward.
No, but you met a girl who listens to this show.
Yes. So,
if she's listening now, please call in.
I knew that was coming, of course. Hey.
203-882-9757.
Yeah. So, yes, was on a dating app, matched with a very nice woman, girl. However, I don't know what we're going to use in 2024. We matched. She's like, hey, I recognize you from the radio, which is great. I love that. And we talked, and it was very nice. I made a cardinal mistake, though.
Oh.
And this is something as a comic you never do.
Where you live?
You know.
Oh.
We'll get to that, AJ. I invited her as a blind, never met meeting this person before, invited her to one of my comedy shows over the weekend.
Oh,
you never like you. It's a it is literally a cardinal rule.
Why
you don't do that? Because if you bomb, it's
You can't wash that stink off.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And what I didn't forget was that I was going to be spending so much time thinking about the fact that she was coming.
Right.
Yeah. Now you're
gonna mess your head up. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then
you want to be able to give her all of your attention.
Right. And I feel bad about because it ended up being not a disaster because the show wasn't a disaster, but the date ended up. So I get there and I find out that I'm running sound after because of course I work in radio and the sound guy can't make it.
Right.
So they're like, Vince, you're gonna run sound, and I'm like, well, I had plans. So like, I'm sitting at one place in a sound booth, she's sitting at the bar. So eventually, at the end of the show, get to like actually have the quote unquote date after she sits through my terrible 7 minutes of comedy.
Was it bad?
And then, it went well for 2 minutes. And then right in the middle, I just had a big brain fart and I was able to pull it back for the end. But I'll give myself like a C plus B.
I'm surprised she's still sitting.
I thought she would have left anyway.
Pity sex, right?
Long story short, we hung out. It was fine. I don't know if I saw necessarily sparks or fireworks or anything like that, but she was nice enough. I kind of slowed down.
Let's get to the point where wants to have sex with you and you don't want to have sex with her.
All right. So all the messages starting with the very first few when we started matching were always very innuendo filled or like, you know, the conversation would somehow circle back to like something sexual. And like, listen, I'm a sentimental kind of guy though, man. I'm not like the sex first guy. Like
I want to get to know you first.
Right.
Romantic. Yes.
And it's a weird, I know it's weird.
So you're at that point in your life now that you just, you know, you don't want to spend any time unless you think that it has a meaningful path.
Right. And there's also a bit of like, and again, if you're listening out there, I'm very sorry. It came off a little strong. You know, like it was just because it was like every third message kind of circled back to, oh, I'm so, you know, it would be some example like, oh, I'm so thirsty. Wink, wink. You know what I mean? Like stuff like that. It was just.
Huh. Well, heat wave. You should drink a lot of water.
Yeah. Oh, OK. So one of
she's just trying to.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
It's
all about hydration.
Trying to keep you safe.
I did get one message that said it's so hot out. I'm walking around in just my panties, which is. Again, this is not bad stuff.
What's the reply to that? Send pics? I don't know.
Right.
Well, that's the thing.
Photos didn't happen.
You know, listen, I'm an awkward guy, man. I'm shy. So I was like trying to find a way to like back my way out of this.
Yeah,
like,
you also don't want to be sued 5 years from now for exchanging.
Right.
You just don't know how this whole thing is going
to
go.
Yeah. Right. I'm trying to find a way to like back myself, like type up like, hey, you're nice, but you know. I don't know. It came off a little strong, and I can't
have sex with you. I don't know what your favorite topping of pizza is yet.
Or just say
we have to talk first.
Just say the test results haven't come back yet.
Phil, you're a married man. I'm just saying, like
I'm not the only married man here.
We're all married, Matt.
But you're all married. I know, but I'm saying you kind of got it figured out already. Listen, I'm not one of those people that thinks sex is a special flower that you have to give to someone.
I want to walk out on this date, and I'm not even there.
Check, please.
I'm sorry,
you're thinking too much, man.
I guess
you are.
Yeah. I must be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't.
You're like a Jerry Garcia and Richard Lewis had a baby.
He does kind of look like that.
He's a big teddy bear.
He is, yeah.
With the frantic craziness of Richard Lewis.
Right. I hope there's not a copy of the voice memo that I sent to Ruth.
Oh, there is.
Why would you do that?
Can you send that over to Phil? He needs to beep tone it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he definitely needs to beep tone it. But anyway, so there's a whole, it's a whole thing. I was just, I don't know, I was uncomfortable with it. I'm a shy guy. I was like trying to find a way to back out of the conversation. And then she started saying that stuff about walking around with just her panties on. I was like, I'm sorry.
What is wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it.
You're not there yet.
I would rather go out, meet in a couple, like.
Have a couple dates, establish that there's something.
Right. It was from like.
All right,
first,
so you're a mismatch.
It was a mismatch.
Because from the first day we messaged, she was like, oh, what are you doing? Hey, do you want to have a sleepover? Or stuff like it was all kind of.
Right, because you're assuming that she does this like every other night with every.
Well, it could be. So here's the thing. I started kind of like slowing down my Facebook messages, and then I start seeing on her Facebook that like some passive aggressive stuff about, oh, you think men are. You know, men are like tilapia. You think they're the catch of the day, but something else. You know what I mean? Like very passive aggressive, like
tilapia,
stuff.
Really?
About
the worst fish ever.
That was directed to you.
That's the worst fish ever.
I don't necessarily know.
He's thinking too much. He does it.
Yeah, Phil I'm right. Sure she has like 18 dates a week. Come on.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't have any assumptions.
I should call you number seven.
Boy, you're really trying to bait this girl and call in Chaz, aren't you? No, so I didn't. I'm awkward, dude. I didn't know how to handle this.
This is awkward. I could just politely
say, hey, I'm not into it, whatever, block. I understand, dude. I'm an awkward dude. I just didn't know. I panicked. I blocked her on Facebook because I saw a couple passive-aggressive like things on her story. And
hold on. We're all going to come together as a group here to help you.
Yes.
Oh, Chaz God. And AJ.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
You called us. What's up?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Did it sound like her?
I will give you the name at the break so you can confirm whether or not it is the person.
She said tilapia.
It didn't come up on the caller.
She said tilapia. Right.
But, again, like, listen, if that is you, I have no beef, like...
JoJo in Wallingford.
Yes.
You're on.
Hi, JoJo.
Hi. I was just, first of all, it was me that called, and I didn't hang up. My Bluetooth disconnected. So oh. Sorry about that. It was not her, and I did not want you guys to think it was.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So there's that first. But the other thing is, listening to him talk about how you don't want to, you know, the sex conversations. I've done the online dating thing. I get pissed off when I get those kind of text messages after, like, the third or fourth. You know, message. It's like, hey, send me a boob picture. Hey, how about this? Hey, and I'm like,
fine.
I don't know your last name.
Right,
yeah, right.
It's a little early.
And then they've gotten angry at me, and I blocked them.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know. Not a match.
To me, it's not worth it.
Have you ever had anyone send you a D pic?
Those are endless.
Really?
Wow.
I don't understand. Guys.
Nope.
They don't want to see it.
Yeah.
It's not good looking, by the way.
I still don't want to. That's what
like
I say.
Monster.
I'm like,
it is a monster.
It's a monster.
Oh, my God. It's a monster.
Every picture looks like that one of the Loch Ness monster is just sticking up. Like, it's just, that's it. There's
I think
no,
of the movie
no
Dune.
I do not want to see that. And I'm a woman in my 40s. I don't want that. I'm not 20 years old. I want a person.
Keep it away.
If all I wanted was a penis, I could walk out the door, pick somebody, and have it if I wanted.
Yeah, that's I always thought about that as a girl.
Right.
Like, you know, you have it just so easy.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's absolutely true.
I have to do all this work. You can walk into a bar and say, you, let's go.
Yep.
No, I was married. My husband passed away, and I got back into dating, you know, after this. And I'm thinking, oh, my freaking God. I might just be better off alone for the rest of my life than, you know, taking care of my own business.
Right.
You know?
Vince, how old are you?
I am 37.
Oh. Hey, Vince is 37 and single.
Yeah.
I'm 49.
Okay.
That's okay.
So is that too, I don't know.
Well, men are more mature.
No, it's not too young in my opinion. I won't go any older than 35.
Okay. Okay, good. How'd you win?
I've not, you know, I'm
well,
not,
what game you have, Ben?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. This is what happens when you put me on the spot there, man. Yeah. I don't know. Age ain't nothing but a number.
If somebody's
no. Okay.
No,
all right.
So call me. What age
hold
they are.
No, it's not. It's
he's
not
the kind of person I would date, though, because he's nice. He sounds respectful and
nebbish.
Why is that so hard?
And she bought it, man.
Why are you?
Wait, are you looking at a picture on your phone? What are you asking?
Yeah, we're doing.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Listen, this is what I'm going to do. I just want to see if Vince has any game at all. We're just going to play some background sounds.
Nice.
I just want you to act like you're in a bar, okay? Vince, Vince, walk up and start a conversation.
Hey.
Wow.
How's it
going? Yeah. Hey,
you have boobs and stuff.
Yeah, you guys leave him alone.
Hey. Yeah, you have half a drink left. I want to chug it like Justin Timberlake.
Are you using your ketchup?
Yeah, right. It would have to be something like that because I wouldn't just approach somebody in public. It would have to be like,
God.
Oh, hey, you have like a shirt from a thing I recognize.
You
or
seem
like whatever.
You walk up to people already apologizing.
Yes.
Hi, sorry to bother
Which is
you.
Weird.
I'm Vince. I don't want to interrupt your space or whatever, but I just wanted to say hi. But if you don't want to talk to me, that's fine.
I have
just
anxiety.
That's exactly how it's going to go.
It is.
Just
no, that's...
say hi.
Yeah, just
Stop talking.
Can I tell you how similarly that has, phrase has come out of my mouth in different permutations over the last 30-something years of my life? Yes.
Just start with, hi, I'm Vince, and just see where that goes.
I'm an alcoholic.
You don't have to overcomplicate
this. This is what, look, we're in a bar right now. He's standing with this girl.
Right.
Jojo. And we're all talking about what a screw up he is.
Right. Yes.
And you know what? That makes me want to talk to him more, because then I know he's a good guy because you guys are kidding.
Oh, well, thank you, Jojo. Yeah, this is a weird, Chad, just real quick. The girl, one of the messages she sent to me was...
Oh, we're back to her now?
Just real quick, man, because this kind of ties
in. Vince, you're talking to new girl.
Don't mention ex.
Talk to her.
Move forward, brother.
It's Jojo.
Move forward.
Okay.
Were you part of the one half of the R&B duo, Casey and JoJo?
Yes.
All right, we got to go.
I'm way better than that.
Ooh, look at that. She's got some game. I know she does.
Look at that. See?
Well, I'll believe that, you guys, I am definitely somebody you all would want to hang out with.
You know what, JoJo? I want to have you on another time just to talk to you about what it's like being in your 40s, trying to find a good guy online.
Yep.
To me, you probably have some of the most interesting stories that we'll just say, wow, guys are doing that, huh?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say, because I am doing the online dating thing, like Vince, obviously, you put pictures up. I'm gonna say this, and not in a gross way. I'm a very well-endowed woman.
Okay.
In the chest area.
Is everything well-endowed?
Yeah, I got it. I got booty too. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Just counterbalanced.
But the thing is, and no matter what I do, I've put full body pictures on there just so people know I'm not a thin girl. You know, I'm not like tight body. I'm cute though. And then I get crazy messages that are really perverted and gross. And then I go change my pictures.
And it's like,
yeah, my bad.
No, it's like, hey, can I see a full body picture? What do you look like? What's your cup size? What's your this? And all I want to do is find out who the person is.
Yeah.
Difficult to find a good person.
Cup size, big toe. What's your favorite movie? You know, what's your favorite color? Food. Right.
Yeah, is there anything other than sex you want to have a conversation about?
Yeah.
No.
Food, movies,
early 90s R&B rap duos.
Yeah. What did you want to be when you grew up?
Right.
What are you now?
No, what did you want to be when you grow up? And did you fulfill that, you know, that dream? All things like that.
Good job.
I know who you are inside.
All right, I got to roll. We're
trying to ask what you are on the outside.
Yeah.
You two should get together and just talk about how horrible it is.
It's like, yeah, man, I need a support group.
Just sit in a stoop and talk.
Yeah, the over 30 date club.
I just wanted to let you know there are women who appreciate somebody like him more than you know.
All right. JoJo, hold on 1 second. We want to grab your number. I feel a segment brewing here. Karate Kid turns 40. The true story behind Mr. Miyagi. Gene Ching is on the show now. He's writer, reviewer, researcher, publisher, and martial artist. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Where did the Mr. Miyagi character come from?
Well, it actually came from three influences. Predominantly, the name Miyagi comes from Chojun Miyagi, who was the founder of a style called Goju-Ryu, and that's the style that's depicted in the movie. That's probably the most clear connection. But he was also inspired by the stunt double, who is Fumio Demura, who was a pioneering martial artist of his time. He wrote many books, some of the very first books in English on Japanese martial arts. And actually, one of his most popular ones was on nunchaku. And he wound up coaching Bruce Lee, because Bruce Lee actually didn't know how to do nunchaku until he came to America. It's not traditionally a kung fu weapon.
Holy crap.
Okay. Didn't know that.
Yeah. And the third one was this person, Miyatoki Yagi, who was a direct disciple of Chojun Miyagi, and somebody that inspired the writer, Robert Mark Kamen, who was himself a martial artist. He drew a lot from his own personal experiences when he was writing The Karate Kid.
What I find amazing about the whole Mr. Miyagi thing is that the actor, Pat Morita, actually never did martial arts before the movie.
That's right.
And there he is going, chopping beer bottle tops off and things like that, beating the kids up when they all beat up Daniel-san.
Yeah.
Remember all the kids beating the crap out of him with the bicycles? And then, like, he just sees, goes down, you see this guy show up out of nowhere and just start taking everybody out. He never took martial arts, Pat Morita.
Nope, never did. Actually, if you look at that fight scene closely, you can see Demora as his body double. They both had very similar builds, but all that really clean karate stuff was this master, Fumio Demora.
Oh, wow. And what's your take with all this? So you make swords and you write about martial arts?
That's right, yeah. It's not a career choice, but you know. It's better than flipping burgers.
This is true. This is true.
Yeah.
Oh, they can flip the burgers and hit them with the sword.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Well, or the nunchaku, as the case may be.
You'd be surprised how many people carry machetes in their cars.
Yeah, seriously.
We just did something about this like the other week.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of calls.
Yeah, almost everybody has one.
It's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
You know, interestingly enough, I follow the crime reports, and the most common sword attack is with samurai swords.
Really?
Wow.
Yep. I mean, that's kind of subjective, but whenever you hear a sword in the news, I mean, occasionally you hear about a machete, but almost always it'll be a samurai sword.
A lot of folks keep that in their house.
Does anyone listening have a samurai sword in their car right now?
In the car, yeah.
No, in the house, but not the car.
Well, it's cool because
have one in the house?
Yeah. I got it in Chinatown many years ago, but you can just get them at any, like, mall. They call them mall ninja stores if you ever walk by, like, the Chinese.
Yeah, they get the sheath and everything, like, yeah, exactly.
Right, and for $29.99, you can get a stained sword.
Is that the noise that happens when you pull the sword out of it?
If your finger's in the way, the blade.
Okay.
There you go.
That's where the noise came from.
Right.
Yeah, those swords are badass.
Yeah. You see someone with a ninja sword like that, you stop everything. Because that thing, it's got a reach.
Have you ever thrown a pineapple up in the air and then, like, cut it in half with a samurai sword?
Oh, cool.
Not a pineapple. I've cut watermelon.
Watermelon.
Really?
Nice. Really?
I like that you didn't immediately
cut a watermelon?
That's got to be the first thing you try when you bring it home, right?
I guess. I don't know.
Like, that's got to be sharp to cut a watermelon in half in the air.
Right? Seriously, yeah.
Actually, it doesn't have to be quite so sharp. It's more about the your angle and your cut.
Really?
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure to cut it like that.
So it's not about being sharp. It's about the angle and the pressure.
Once you break the rind of the watermelon, it cuts pretty easily. Right. It'll kind of split on its own, you know? You know, a watermelon kind of breaks.
Same as a person. Once you get past the skin, you're good.
I had a teacher that taught our class the way the samurais used to test their blades for sharpness after they had them tempered sometimes is they would attempt to cut a person in half, like, at the hips. That is like a number one cut. That's like how you know that the sword is strong enough and sharp enough for, like, samurai duty.
But who are these people that are trying to cut in half?
Well, we're talking prisoners.
Hopefully enemies.
Prisoners.
Oh, Lord.
Is that so?
And
that's
it actually
true?
Went
that's...
so far that prisoners who were up for this would eat rocks to try and break the sword.
Nice.
What? Okay.
Whoa.
That's crazy.
And the guy was stumped.
Yeah. Crazy times, man.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm good.
So you have to kind of tell you kind of got to surprise the prisoners. You can't tell them the day before, hey, we're using you for a sword practice.
Right. No.
Good news. You get to stand outside for a while. Who wants air? Who wants air?
Determination, you need a lot of rocks.
Right.
But, what else are you going to do?
They would eat rocks.
I like that, I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to mess up your sword in the process.
Yeah. I'm going to break your blade. It's really the final, like, middle finger.
You're going to have to resharpen.
Exactly.
Right.
Wow.
That's disgusting and weird at the same time.
Gene Ching is on. When you watch Star Wars and they're having the lightsaber fights, you impressed by these moves or you're like, that's stupid?
The funny thing about lightsaber is it doesn't really behave like a normal sword in that, the edge is three-dimensional, so you don't have to worry about the cut so much.
Right.
Right? You just need to place it. But I've interviewed Ray Park, who played Darth Maul, and he was a martial arts champion. That's how he got the role. And as it kind of went on, they put more martial arts people in it. And the new series, The Acolyte, is fairly well choreographed. The originals have choreographed. They had some great choreographers, so it's actually really quite good.
Okay, so Darth Maul and Beyond, better.
Yeah, the newer ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was definitely a turning point.
Gotcha. Darth Maul had the double lightsaber.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right.
A lot of Star Wars fans feel like more Ray Park would have equaled a better movie.
Yes,
and he had better moves too.
He was like one of the biggest villains of Star Wars, of the whole franchise ever. And in the first movie, he's only in it for like 15 minutes total.
Right,
bit of a shame.
So
yeah.
But he goes on to reprise the role, and you know it goes on in Clone Wars and Rebels and the animated one, and then he has an appearance in Solo.
What did you, if someone listening now was to look up like one of the greatest sword fighting scenes on film, what would you recommend?
That's a fair question. My personal favorite was Rashomon. It's an old Akira Kurosawa and Toshirô Mifune film. In fact, Toshirô Mifune was originally the person who was going to be cast as Mr. Miyagi, but he didn't really speak English, so it didn't work out.
Yeah,
but that's my personal favorite because there's actually several.
I'm never going to be able to spell that in Google.
What about the one in Princess Bride? That was a good sword fight. That was a good sword fight. That was a long one. That was a good one.
Yeah. That was fun. It was really fun.
Where does that place in your top 10 list, Gene?
Around two.
Pretty high up there, actually. It's pretty well done.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. Watch it. It's amazing.
I think there's two things you look at when you look at a sword fight. One is sort of the technical accuracy, and then the other is whether it sustains your attention, right? Whether it's entertaining.
Okay, fair.
Okay.
Like Star Wars, for example, I mean, all those fights are super entertaining just because it's so visual. And, you know, Princess Bride has the whole left-hand, right-hand thing, which is really funny. You know,
I'm not right-handed.
There's a lot of quality in the fight scene.
That is a great scene.
There is a scene during that sword fight, that early one with Inigo Montoya, where he jumps off of like this rope.
Yeah.
And he lands, and you see the mat. They tried to cover it with dirt.
Right.
And
right.
When he lands, you just sort of see like the mat like curls up on the edges.
And he goes, right there, boy. Yeah, and he throws the
blade sword down. Yeah.
Right? Then he did like a double thumb somersault.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who are you?
It's fun. I must know.
Gene, you should make a top 10 sword fight list.
Yeah.
The internet loves lists, man.
Yeah,
it's truth.
True, true. Maybe I'll put it on my list of things. my editor at Denver Geek actually is asking me for some new pitches, so I'll put that in the list.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I want to look it up. And Princess Bride is going to be on that top 10 list?
Probably.
Thank you.
Really
all right, it went from high up there to maybe.
Eight or nine.
Yeah.
It's an iconic fight.
It is.
I don't know. The one at the end of the movie might be better with the six-fingered man.
I don't know. I mean,
I think the first duel is more fun. That's what we always cite.
I guess I like
Are we
the
looking
blood.
For fun?
And it lasts for a while, too. It's not like a short. They go at it.
Huh. Yeah. Good fight scenes should always last for a while.
Exactly.
That one does feel like a championship boxing match where like they're kind of feeling each other out for like a minute or two. And then it's like, okay, we're dealing with another expert. We can turn it on here.
What about Kill Bill?
Kill Bill. You know, the thing about Kill Bill, I mean, I respect Quentin Tarantino immensely. But a lot of his skill is that he would look at grindhouse films and pluck the most edgy scene out of it and then reassemble it into his film. And so Kill Bill is actually an incredible homage to Asian cinema. And so if you know Asian cinema, and that's one of my areas of research, it's almost like a guessing game where you're watching the scene. Oh, he stole that scene from this movie, or he stole that scene from that movie.
Gotcha. Plagiarist.
So, I mean, I respect him a lot, but I wouldn't put his sword fights up there as highly because they're derivative of other sword fights.
Right. They're not original.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha.
I mean, some of the scenes that he poaches, they're right down to the framing.
Yeah.
It's exactly like the original.
I think he would call them tributes.
Tributes. Yeah.
Homages. So,
there are other words for that, though.
Yeah.
Copy.
Right. Right. I mean, he's built his career on it. And through it, he's also highlighted and showcased a lot of films that people in the West probably wouldn't see ordinarily. You know, a lot of great classics. But, I mean, actually, when you talk about sword fights, there's a new version of The Three Musketeers starring Eva Green. It just came out of France. It's in French. And the sword fights in there are really incredible.
And a great camera, too, yes.
Yeah, they're one-er scenes, meaning, like, there's no cuts. Or the splices are very are hidden somehow. There's some kind of stitch. And the thing about a one-er scene is, it, you know, every time you add a move, it's 10 times more difficult. And so when you're going through, you know, if you do a movie where it's like one cut and one stab or one punch or what have you, one strike, that's fairly easy to do. Anybody could do that. But when you get a scene where, you know, there's a dozen, two dozen moves, three dozen moves, and it's a complex fight where things are blowing up and falling apart. That is impressive.
You don't want to be the guy that makes a mistake at the end of that run.
No.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So some films are famous for their winners, right?
Not just the actors that need to be on point. Like all the lighting, everything needs to be exactly in the right place and move together. Right. It's difficult.
Right, right, right. And in this new version of Three Musketeers, it's actually two parts. There's Three Musketeers, D'Artagnan, and Three Musketeers, Milady. The camera moves so amazingly through the fight scenes. Well, I was really knocked out. I was really impressed.
Wow.
You know, but
I never thought I'd watch another Three Musketeers movie,
right.
But
right.
You just convinced me.
Yeah, no, this is a really good one. It's up there in my top versions of the story. You know, I mean, the Michael York one is great because it's really funny. And there's some great sword fighting in it. Although the weird thing about that film, you talk about jumping on the mats, is you watch it carefully, D'Artagnan keeps leaving his sword. You know, after the duel, he drops his sword on the ground, and he never picks it up again. And then somehow he has a new sword by in the next scene.
It's a horse hammer. You know, he just holds his hand out. It's there.
Right.
That's right.
See, I don't pay attention to swords as much as I pay attention to bullet counts.
Now you will.
Yeah.
Ah, bullet counts, yeah.
Yeah, like, he hasn't reloaded in like 38 shots.
It's a 90 shooter.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Gene, thanks for coming on. We got to have you back, and we'll listen to your top 10 sword fight scenes.
Yeah.
All right, I'll make sure I put that list together before we speak again.
Awesome,
Gene Cheng, writer, reviewer, researcher, publisher, martial artist. We're linked up to all your stuff on the radio station website. Thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now, and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?